Rashid is invented. What Rashid describes is not. It is happening across Yorkshire and the Humber right now. This is their story. In one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, healthcare training places sit unfilled while hospital wards struggle with staffing shortages. The contradiction runs through Hull's medical institutions. International students pay full fees for places that NHS-funded applicants cannot access, while agency nurses cost three times what training new staff would require.
I keep a small cactus garden on my windowsill. Seven little pots, different varieties, each one stubborn enough to grow in Hull's grey light. When I get frustrated, I talk to them. They are better listeners than most of the people I have tried to reason with over the past 4 years. My name is Rashid. I'm 28 and I have spent the better part of my 20s trying to become a nurse. My father worked the docks until his back gave out. My mother was a teaching assistant at the local primary school until the cuts came. I grew up on Preston Road, watching my grandfather fight cancer at Hull Royal Infirmary. The nurses who cared for him worked 16-hour shifts and still found time to explain every procedure, every medication, every small victory and setback. I knew then what I wanted to do with my life. I finished my A-levels at Kelvin Hall School with strong grades and spent 3 years as a healthcare assistant at Hull Royal. I learned how to take blood pressure, how to help patients wash, how to listen when someone is afraid. I watched nurses make decisions that kept people alive. I wanted to be one of them. In 2019, I applied to Hull York Medical School. The rejection letter was polite but clear. Unfortunately, we cannot offer you a place at this time. I contacted Health Education England, Yorkshire and Humber to ask about nursing training routes. They told me to apply through UCAS like any other university course. The University of Hull nursing program rejected me. The letter cited limited places due to funding constraints. I had never heard that phrase before. It sounded reasonable. Universities have budgets. Budgets run out. I accepted it. I tried Hull College next. Their healthcare courses looked promising. The admissions officer was apologetic but firm. Our NHS-funded places have been significantly reduced due to Treasury spending limits. Again, that word, limits. Again, it sounded like something beyond anyone's control. Leeds Beckett University gave me the same response. Different words, same message. We cannot afford to run that program. I was starting to hear a pattern. Every institution told me the same story. There was no money. The budget had been cut. Training places were rationed. It was presented as a fact of nature, like the weather. Then COVID hit. I volunteered with Hull 4 Heroes, delivering food and supplies to healthcare workers. I worked alongside qualified nurses who told me about colleagues leaving the profession in exhaustion. They described wards running on skeleton crews, agency staff rotating through at enormous cost, patients waiting longer for basic care. The very people I wanted to join were burning out and walking away. One afternoon, walking past the University of Hull's Alum Medical Building, I noticed something that stopped me cold. Recruitment banners covered the entrance, advertising nursing courses to international students. Full fees required, £18,000 per year. The same program that had rejected me for lack of NHS-funded places was actively recruiting students who could pay the full cost. I stood there for 20 minutes, reading every banner, every brochure taped to the windows. If the teaching staff existed, if the classrooms existed, if the clinical placements existed, what exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that issues the pound had chosen not to spend the pounds that would connect people like me to the training that hospitals desperately needed. I submitted a Freedom of Information request to Hull York Medical School. The response arrived 6 weeks later. 47 unfilled training places in 2022 because the government had refused to fund them. 47 places. 47 people who could have been training to work in the NHS right now. The same week, Hull Royal Infirmary advertised for agency nurses. The rate was £45 per hour, three times what a newly qualified nurse earns, three times what it would cost to train someone like me for a permanent position. The maths was impossible to ignore. Spending £45 per hour on temporary staff was somehow affordable. Spending £6,000 per year to train a nurse who would work for decades was not. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the clinical placements were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. I still work as a healthcare assistant. I still tend my cactus garden. I still want to be a nurse. But I understand now that what happened to me was not bad luck or natural scarcity. It was a series of political decisions made by people in HM Treasury who had alternatives. They chose to cap Health Education England's budget. They chose to treat public investment as a cost rather than as the means by which trained staff reach the wards that need them. Every constituency has people like me, qualified, motivated, blocked by artificial limits on training places while the work they want to do goes undone beside them. The resources existed, the people existed. What did not exist was the political will to connect them.
What Rashid experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique relies on citing supposed authorities who treat questionable claims as settled fact. A fake expert is not necessarily unqualified, but rather someone whose expertise is presented as definitive when the field itself remains divided. Consider how tobacco companies once cited doctors in cigarette advertisements, selecting only those who supported their position while ignoring the growing medical consensus about cancer risks. The doctors were real. Their qualifications were genuine. But presenting their minority view as representative of medical opinion was deliberately misleading. In Rashid's story, every institution cited the same constraint: there is no money. Behind this lay economists who treat government budgets like household budgets, as though the currency issuer must find pounds before it spends them. When pressed, officials invoke this supposed expert consensus. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: people, skills, materials, time. In Rashid's constituency, those resources were sitting idle while training places remained artificially capped. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Kingston upon Hull North and Cottingham ranks 120 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 3. The constituency has 1,443 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register. Total grants received amount to £13.3 million, as recorded in 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.